Hi, and welcome to another edition of Zoomed In. I'm your host, Brandon Chapman, and I'm joined by Johnny Lupinacci, an associate professor in the WSU College of Education's Cultural Studies and Social Thought in Education program. Johnny, first of all, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, that's great, Brandon. It's good to see you this afternoon. And, you know, it's the beginning of another one of these fine weeks that we're in, where we're sort of like learning as we go. So what's up?
So you know, I love a good alliteration. And I heard something from you. I got it right here. Pandemic pedagogies. Yeah. So I'd love to talk to you about that. I'd love to talk to you about the Higher Ed Learning Collective. Just in these days of COVID-19, how teachers have to almost rethink the way that we consider quality education, right? Providing quality education. And as I mentioned, you are cultural studies and social thought in education. So how does that move to online alter things in terms of equities and, you know, not all kids have the same kind of technology, same kind of quiet space to do things. So that's what I wanted to talk to you about today as this Zoomed In. I know you're just one faculty member in cultural studies doing great work, but you're the guy today anyway. So let's talk about that. First of all, how you doing with everything?
Man, I'm doing all right. And you?
Not bad. I'm a people person who wants to go back to, personal interaction. And I think a lot of people are there.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And you know, it's also nice, as you were noting, you know, not a lot of people have a safe place to be, and not a lot, like, folks don't have the kind of like access to the technologies that a lot of us maybe have as like a home office or work from home kind of setup. So that transition is, you know, different for everybody, and we're sort of working through those things. But, you know, also privileged to be safe and healthy and, you know, sheltered in a safe place. So that kind of speaks to that. And yeah, man. And we were also just kind of going back and forth on email, you know, just around both being extroverts and both being those guys who kind of feed off of being able to like give a high five, a wave, right, you know, go catch a baseball game, and, you know, and really vibe with the students. So it's tough not being all together, but, you know, this is a time where it's a minimal sacrifice given the, you know, the state of things. And the transition's been really interesting, man. I think it's, to say the least, we could go any number of directions when we begin to talk about, you know, how that impacts young learners, how it's impacting our college students, how it's changing the day-to-day operations of higher education, and likely for some lasting time. And so I think like any major moment, there's sort of a planetary pause right now that it's exciting to see teachers. It's exciting to see families, neighborhoods, and communities partnering around education. Not that they weren't before, but we're all sort of thrust into it. And in many ways, even the experts, not experts. And so it's been, I was sharing with you, it's been really exciting to just see what kind of communities organically, if you're to say, although they're really technologically mediated, but what kind of communities bubble up out of like Facebook, out of Twitter, out of just people sharing their day to day in a new kind of contemplative but paused way. So that's been kind of exciting.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, if you could give the, if this is possible, man, if you could give the 30-second overview, just in general, of the kind of things you do research on, and then let's dovetail that to this pandemic pedagogy.
Oh, man. Yeah. So for me, one of the main focuses of my research interest is just understanding the relationships around any learning place, and extending that even to any living place as humans in our communities, how we're recognizing or not recognizing the important relationships that we're dependent on. So just how important our care for one another is, and how learning to care for ourselves and each other is an important part of an education. And that's not just to think about the social aspect, but also the environmental aspect. So how land, water, air are more than human, other animals, right? Plants, these kinds of things are also part of our day-to-day lives, but often not like as present in our thinking about education as maybe we'd like them to be. And so the really quick paraphrase is, so how do we learn in schools to take care of ourselves, each other, and be part of that environment that takes care of us. And so sustainability gets kind of mapped onto that really nicely. So I'm interested in social justice and sustainability and education. I guess that's the most simple way to kind of come at it.
Yeah, and the way I think of it is online learning is not really online learning. Like you might think of learning, here's me teaching you one principle, and then you prove that you've learned it on a test or something else. I mean, we're talking about flexibility and considerations of grief and trauma and things like that that you've mentioned.
I think I don't know, like anything good, it's like nothing originates exactly from individuals. And I'm certainly part of that, like not absent from that. No good idea, I don't think, comes out of my head. I remember I was invited to a Facebook group that started bubbling up among a number of them called Pandemic Pedagogies. And I thought, wow, perfect. So I can cite the person who connected me to it, Dr. Jess Habach at Aurora, said, hey, you got to get in on this conversation, because we were all posting like, hey, as we transition. So I've taught online classes before, and I've taught mostly, face-to-face, but been really cued into different technologies that increase accessibility and, ways students can engage, turn in assignments, like do a podcast or, host a kind of conversation on Zoom. And that was all still while we were face-to-face. And so in that rapid transition from teaching as we often teach to being at a distance at a particular time where really a lot of uncertainty, fear, grief, trauma are really part of the day-to-day uncertainty of things right now in COVID-19, that it's not a one-to-one switch. It's not just like, okay, quick, now we're online teaching. And, it also really brought to the forefront that when we were online teaching, might we have been missing some things that, we assumed were happening, not just access to technology and those things, but that, just because in general things seem to be okay for a majority of the people that we're hearing about in the world, that students participating in our classes online, might not have those kinds of stabilities. And so we started really talking about, so what's going on in your classes? How are you transitioning? And what things are working and not working? And we were learning really quickly that the successes we've had in online teaching in this particular moment, kind of playing with that, calling it pandemic pedagogies, it really wasn't translating to the same kind of success. So, which makes total sense. And like, I'm going off the cuff here. We could spend time and dig up sources and be all, nerdy about it, how we like to get. Yeah. But just think about, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If basic needs aren't being met, right, then we're not learning. We know this. So for a majority of students,
The question that always comes up to my mind is, we're in a world of, we like to measure things, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because measurement allows us to determine somehow whether we're being successful or not successful. How do you measure some of these things that seem so intangible, right?
Yeah, my question is why measure it? Like, I mean, if you need to spend the time measuring, great, that's somebody's job. My job is to look at, say, like, well, it seems like a lot. And if I, if it smells like doo-doo, if it looks like doo-doo, I'm not going to taste it to make sure it's doo-doo. That's someone else's job to do that sort of scientific testing. And I'll lean on science to tell me that. And so if it seems like trauma, if it sounds like trauma, and if a student's saying, hey, this is what's going on in my life, or not, but I can't do a particular thing like turn in a paper or meet at the time you're meeting, or, post online with the same depth I was posting or maybe talking about 2 or 3 weeks ago, or, share my face on a video screen because I might not want to share what's behind me or how I look in this particular room. So a lot of the things just being flexible about, I don't need proof for it.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing that's nice about, like, I'm not saying that works for everyone's area of research or everyone's sort of teaching situation, but that's kind of the pandemic pedagogy pieces. So why is that important? That's often important as part of the problem. And so for a lot of us in these groups, we're just saying like, okay, not devaluing it, but pushing it to the side in the moment. What do we just need to focus on to keep, not just in a hokey way, but to keep hope up, right? And to keep sort of that smile I see on your face, right? To keep thinking like, we got this.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to listen to scientists. We're going to defer to doctors because they know what's best for our health as a human population. But also, we know about how to care for one another. And if we don't, this is a great time to reconnect with that and build up from there. Just like any great teacher would say, something's going on in my classroom today. We need to pause a little bit and figure out how to get on the same page, right? We would do the same thing in higher ed. So we're just kind of really taking back to say, like, some people say, well, we don't know how many, we don't know how much. It's like, for me, I don't need the numbers. I'll trust you when they come through. You know, we'll do our double checks and our due diligence. But for right now, it's like, hey, folks really need to kind of come together and might need different things. So how can our classes be a space where, for us, we teach educators, right, or educational researchers, but how can they be together in a space that begins with as simple as that sort of Maslow's hierarchy of needs? How are you doing? Like you did today, talking to me. Hey, man, first off, how are you? You know, and right. and for all of us right now, we don't necessarily know, right? So there's this uncertainty that we can begin with and then say, well, whatever it's going to be, we're going to do this together. Right. Yeah, and what does that look like?
I barely remember anything after you said doo-doo. So
I know, man. Well, sometimes you just got to bring, I mean, you got to bring that human element.
I got to tell you, I appreciate you having the most quotable thing probably of the week within the WCU system. So,
okay. Well, you know, I got a lot to compete with. I think it was my colleague, Rich Lamb, a former colleague, Rich Lamb. I guess we're still colleagues, but we're brothers in different places.
Yeah.
But he holds the record, right, with, like something about like video games and zombies. So yeah. I'm competing with zombies and video games here.
That was one of the more quotable things I've ever heard. Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm working with that. I'm going to get there.
Companies do spend more in video games. Yes, but what makes money is blowing the heads off zombies.
Or like right now, Animal Crossing. What makes money is people just chilling out and living on a remote island.
Right. Or anything with tiger print.
Don't even get me started on the Tiger King right now. Well, the educational version of the Tiger King?
Yes.
That's the question. What is? What do you think right now, off the cuff? I'm interviewing you. What's the educational?
I don't know, man. Blue Planet? I don't know.
Okay. All right.
So that's a good question.
I'm thinking it's this podcast show. If we can.
Hey, man, I'm not ready to be on the hot seat yet. No.
Okay.
I'm interviewing you, man.
That's right. I'll spin it.
Well, hey, thanks, Johnny. I really appreciate you just, you know, sitting down with me for a minute here on Zoomed In, examining some of the things going on, how faculty are responding, and in your role, of course, seeing how that actually really has an effect on the end user, which in this case, it's the community that we deal with. It's parents, it's the kids, and you know, understanding that not everybody's the same. Never was. But now we have to transition that to online, and it looks a little different. So,
yeah, and there's major, I think I really appreciate you leading with that there's huge inequities. We just can't gloss over and jump right to here's what works. And I mean, we're already isolating by just who can be on the Zoom and who can be, you know, on a microphone and do all this stuff. So it's really thinking about how do we bring all of this world stuff together.
Right. And the bandwidth that some folks have for online. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to have a specific bandwidth, especially with everybody on at the same time, or else people can't even hear you speak, right? Your bandwidth is throttled back and it sounds metallic-y. It sounds, you know, the quality is terrible. That's really hard for a child who's trying to participate in the same way maybe some of their classmates are.
That's right. That's right. And I mean, there's always content to be learned. There's always content to be learned. And you know what? Great teachers will always tell you, we can loop back and get the content. Make sure these young people are okay. And I'm considering that of all ages, right? We could learn more content when we're not highly traumatized. And this is a time where it's really likely that folks are experiencing increased amount of trauma, whatever their situation is. So we all do our part by taking care of one another. And making sure we make it through this as healthy as we can be inside, right? Physically and emotionally. And then let teachers do their thing. We'll loop back around and pick up all the missing pieces. But everybody do their part by just kind of making sure folks stay okay in the heart and in the mind. And we'll fill in those missing pieces. We can make up years. I've seen it. I testify. I see young people come into ninth grade at a fourth grade level and leave 12th grade at a 12th grade level. Teachers could do it. Young people have the capacity to do it, but it's real hard when we're broken, right? And so by keeping each other working, we can get back and fill in those gaps. So that's my big plug, man. Just
golly, man. You need a call for an amen right now.
Hallelujah, brother.
I love it. Let's do it. Yeah,
let's do it. Let's feel it. Hey, thanks for doing what you're doing, man. It's good to see your face. Reach out to me whenever. We're all sitting where we're sitting in these home offices. And you know, we're lucky to be so. So
yeah, I feel blessed, man. I feel blessed. No complaints for me. Things are hard. No complaints. Yeah, no. Thank you so much, my friend, Johnny Lupinacci.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, two thumbs up.
I'll skip the knucks.
and it's not an official.
My Uncle Junior salutes.
Hold on.
Okay. All right.
You know, it's not an official goodbye on Zoom. You know how it goes until everybody starts to wave. Hey.
Until we zoom out.
Take it easy, man. Thanks.
All right. Much love. Bye.